Everyone seemed bound to annihilate themselves with drugs and mind disease. 3. Waking up to a Muslim country with the sun shining and knowing that no matter what, all the cards are stacked against walking in that sun. You feel your body slowly grow weak. It is suffocating. What you enjoy, you cannot enjoy. Even desire is falling sluggish, yet you continue to pound and hate. What you never wanted, you suddenly begin to want. A husband, some further suffocation, some extended destruction of privacy. Yet all you really have is this deafening solitude, and you want to put an end to this also. And you think of all the possibilities. You fight the feeling of being alone and worthless, of being alone in a solitary cell where no word travels in or out. You feel the hate draining all the sweetness from your face, and you hate, hate, hate families and couples, their illusions, and their own special privacy. Or you turn on the other solitary ones because they are empty too. You remember that some time ago you said you were a writer, and this made all the difference, and now it makes no difference at all. It wasn't a cheery little job right out of college. About 3 years ago, I sat for a painting that a representational painter friend of mine was doing, Joe Giordano. And it took about 40 hours. And the amazing part of this painting was that it looked like I was sitting on some beautiful veranda wearing a flowered dress and a rattan chair, and that everything was very special. And actually, what I was doing was watching cop shows on television because of the length of time. And out of that, I wrote this poem called Kojak. If you watch a lot of TV, you can tell whether it's a cop show if the actors all walk around drinking coffee out of white styrofoam cups that seem small in their huge hands. Someday, cops will not have to present a badge when arriving on the scene of a crime or accident. Instead, they will show their styrofoam cups. This is called The Conservative. Sometimes at a flight gate waiting to board, you can actually recognize your luggage as it is loaded off one plane and on to another. And sometimes businessmen can be so interesting and calm. You're in a football jersey and you don't care. He's the bastion of conservatism, but his knees are being crushed by the seat in front of him as he acts as a buffer to the brusque Eastern European man who had leaned over, looked at my magazines, and asked what kind of magazine Savvy was. When he read the cover, he made a loud snorting noise, asking, "What kind of woman executive are you?" I continued looking at GQ, golf green and blue. The conservative is looking to get a portrait painted of his wife and doesn't think I fit the artsy mold. I seem different, which is a compliment. Gay men scare the hell out of him, he says, but he just bought 24 discount designer ties to give his business associates for Christmas. He wants to know a good design school for his daughter, which isn't in New York, and just paid $600 for her Sweet 16 photos. His son, he is worried, is in love with a vegetarian. Just as my special lunch arrives, "I don't eat red meat or pork," I say, sweetly munching a carrot. He went to Xavier in New York City, looks very Irish, which he thinks of as young. I tell him places where his wife can shop on the Lower East Side and where to eat in Little Italy. He asked if I was good with numbers. We exchange business cards. I love traveling, and I love traveling all over the country and collecting everybody's and every state's interpretation of their tourist toy. So I decided that what I would really like to do in my next life is to get a giant warehouse and design them for every state in the union, and I started with New York, and that's as far as I got. The proposed New York tourist toy: plastic apple, push stem, thousands of little people pop out, the tops of their heads are red. I'm going to close with three or four new poems, which were written mostly in the morning in a taxi on the way to the office. The Sizzling Neon. It's a beautiful morning, and the sky is a naturally happy place. where spring lands on 14th Street and Union Square. A sooty pigeon polishes the sky. You love me, I know that. The morning refracts. It's warmer now. You can let the moist air in your lungs expand. What I love is now with the windows down. From Lower Broadway. On a day like this, so wet and gray, everything the color of putty punctuated with yellow cabs, I don't mind a red stoplight here and there. It's a sleek rain. Color washes off the buildings in saran wrap sheets. I could go anywhere today, what you mean to me, beautiful bright orange against gray. My husband and I had the fortunate and unfortunate experience to go to Fort Lauderdale this spring, like probably 15 years too late. But it had its interesting moments, and this poem came out of it. Fort Lauderdale, spring break, 84. 6,000 divided by 3 equals 2,000. On the beach, sunburned sailors, solocaine red in the hot sun, as their ship waits patiently offshore. They're looking for girls, and the girls cutely wave at them from small cars as they speed away. The sailors buy a case of beer and sit in their jockey shorts in one hotel room. Everywhere are fat adults in bikinis, young fat and older fat. So after a while, it feels okay to be medium flabby in a bikini. The water has an undercast of turquoise, and we have rented beach chairs from the young beach bum entrepreneur for $2 all day. Painted white with faded royal blue canvas, they are a little greasy and run down like everything else here. But still the charm of the romantic 50s honeymoon when it was new and the ladies were hopeful in bandanas. It's still pretty, and you can see why we flock here. A rum drink or beer is 50 cents at the right hour. Outside our room are the tennis courts with men in white shorts and captain hats. The ocean, like an aquamarine gem, gently rolls up to the goofy, graceful palms sticking up every which way behind the McDonald's, housed in a Cuban 50s-style whitewashed stone building, trimmed in red and yellow, the best golden arches probably ever. Small advertising planes zooming back and forth with messages of where the next cocktail hour will be and what to see. Scrawny, pimple-faced boys traveling in teams trying to get laid. Working on 57th Street. These weeks go by so fast, filled with hard work and my love for you. On the weekend, all my spare time I want to spend with you. These weeks go by at night sometimes. I can hardly speak to friends on the phone. The morning dragged from me by a fire alarm to the shower. I hope it's hot. It's not much, but me so affected by light and weather sit in an office without natural light. Regardless, days go by with nuance, like the shades of gray and brown on the plains when seasons change. And I think I have two more. Spring. Before and because of you dazzling me this way, a day opens, eager with fresh light. The scaffolding looks new, and the dirty statues with pigeons clinging to them wear a wry look in the sunlight you share. There's a wonderful restaurant in New York called Supreme Macaroni, and I met a friend there one day, and this came out of that. Supreme Macaroni. It's a warm morning all around. You're going on a business trip. I'll go to work as usual. Midday, I'll meet Louise, probably laugh about the way things are, ride the bus, take it all in, think of how friendships change. Sometimes I can't shift around what I want when I'm calmer since you've been here, run around less, read more books, as currents of air blow gently up to the penthouses with their bushy greenery. Surrounding them is the charm of a pre-war building. I'm used to small living. I live in one corner roaming around. Someday maybe I'll be as smart as you in the cozy room filled with elegant people drinking, beautiful paintings on all peripheries. Bathing your eyesight is more than a virtue. When people stop right in front of you, blocking the view, when you want to knock them down, it's just you wanting all the space between buildings. Thanks.
Well, thanks to our featured artists, Jan Greenberg, Vicki Hudspeth, and Bob Dyer tonight. Thanks to all of you and for all the people behind the scenes for making this evening happen the way it did. And I'd like to encourage you to come to the Garden to hear N. Scott Momaday, Marty Ehrlich, and J.D. Perrin on Sunday night, and to pick up information about the River Styx PM's programs and these little calendars of the Duff series so that you know when it's going on. Next reading here at Duff's will be November 19th with John Knopfel, Peg Knopfel, and the wonderful satirical singer-songwriter Dee Werner.